I want to share a little bit about the background on some of these verses and then see how we can apply it to our lives today. What does this passage have to say to us today? So in verses 46 and 47, when Mary says, "My soul magnifies or glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," here, soul and spirit refer to the same part of us. They're not two different things or two separate things. They're the same thing. It's synonymous. It's what we call in biblical studies a parallel or parallelism as well. And then when she says, "My soul, my spirit rejoices," and then Lord and God and Savior, three references here. All of them refer to the same one. All of them refer to God. And what that means is that she is happy through and through. It's a complete happiness, both in her soul and her spirit. And verse 48 says, "He has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." A simple life, I think, in that day included being brought up in the Hebrew faith. So Mary knew the stories, and she knew the characters and the values of what is for us right now the Old Testament. So the song in her heart is very similar to Hannah's prayer and vow that's found in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And she was another one who experienced a miraculous pregnancy. And so seeing herself in that line of spiritual mothers in the faith really gave her courage to go forth and to do what God was asking her to do. I think it's great to see all the generations here today. We've talked about generations over the past few Sundays. And I think as all the generations, we need to remember that God sees and that God knows us. He knows our lives. He knows whether or not we're on this end of life or this end or somewhere in between. His love goes out to all generations. And so I think the love and the attention of the church should too. I read a lady sometimes, just catch her blog every now and then. Her name is Reverend Dr. Judith Jones. She's a vicar at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Newport, Oregon. She's a retired professor at Wartburg College in Iowa. Here's something that she wrote about this passage. "In our culture, hashtag blessed has become a meme or an emoji. Feeling blessed is a regular comment on Facebook posts. People tweet images or post pictures of themselves enjoying a tasty meal or a beautiful vacation. Blessed has come to mean living a life of privilege and comfort, a way of celebrating those moments when everything in life is going well and all is right with the world, or at least in one's own little corner of it. But the blessedness that Mary celebrates stands in stark contrast to our culture's attitude toward blessing. In our definition of blessing, by our standards, she does not look at all blessed. She is not from a family that can afford expensive food or clothing. She is a nobody, a peasant girl from a small village. But she will watch with unspeakable joy when the withered hand is made well and the blind regain sight and miracles are performed. And she will bear the unspeakable grief of watching as her son is rejected, shamed, and crucified. And despite all this, Mary praises God for honoring her. The mother of the Messiah has experienced God's blessing and joy and sorrow she is not hashtag blessed. Her blessing, like ours, is a cross-shaped blessing. Verses 49 and 50. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. So she praises God for three things here. For his might, his power, his holiness, and his mercy. And God is strong. And God is able. And God is holy. And I hope that we will always use God's name and treat Jesus' name in person reverently and with respect. We know that the root for fear here is not the 21st century definition of fear, as in being afraid or scared. We know that the root for fear here is respect, is honoring, is awe, reverence. That's what it means here. So when we read here that, you know, for those who fear him, she's really saying for those who will look upon God now and in all the generations to come, who look upon God with awe, with reverent, who look upon him reverently and willingly and lovingly and obediently. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who or what do you fear in the sense of a healthy respect, in the sense of honoring? Who do you fear? For me, it's floodwaters. I respect floodwaters. Growing up in Front Royal in the Shenandoah Valley, I've seen the Shenandoah come over its banks. I've seen water move steadily across the roads. And I look at it and I say, I'll cross that road tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow. A respect for it. You all know what flooding is like. I respect lightning. I respect electricity. Hands off electricity for me. Blessed are you who can handle electricity and know what you're doing. I don't. Let me give you an electricity joke. What's an electrician's favorite ice cream? Chocolate. Oh, maybe you saw in the paper the other day about the electrician who got arrested for eating batteries. He'll be charged in the morning. Yeah, that's right. Mary praised God for three aspects of God's character: his might, his holiness, his mercy. Think about when you pray to God, and when you think about God, what aspects of his character come to mind for you? And be sure you include these three as well. Mercy occurs five times in this chapter. That's a lot. And I think the message here that Luke wants to share with us is that God's mercy is available to everyone. Everyone. But it's equally true that mercy comes faster and stronger and clearer and more certainly as we respect God, as we reverence God in our hearts and in our lives. This kind of mercy is from generation to generation. And all of this came about because the angel said, "Do not be afraid." I read one commentator this past week who said that of all the phrases that there are in the scriptures, or all the commands that God gives us, "Do not be afraid" is the one most frequently mentioned. The most frequent command of God: don't be afraid. God helps you conquer your fears. Mary addressed the fears in her life. She asked the questions. She received encouragement from the older cousin Elizabeth. And with all of that happening, then she could say, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices." Was Mary afraid? We don't know. Probably so. Probably Joseph too, as they headed off to Bethlehem. Fear. Fear. I mean, for me growing up, it was asking girls to go to dances. In junior high, there was this girl, and she was so cute and so nice and so fun to be with. And I thought, well, she will already have a date. But I never heard. I listened for the talk and everything, and it never happened. And I was too scared to ask her. So I went by myself, and she was there. Nobody had asked her, so I caught a break there. But in high school, there was this girl, and she was... And since Sherry will probably listen to this message sometime this week, let me say today, she is the least attractive girl in the whole high school, okay? She was, I mean, she was ouch kind of thing, okay? But I asked, and she already had a date, but she was very sweet about it. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is the one thing that you would do in your life if you were not afraid? What's the one thing you would do in your life if you were not afraid? Talk with a famous person. Share what you think about Jesus with a friend. Share your thoughts. Ask your friend to share their thoughts. Maybe end a friendship with someone who has proven to be mean, rude, and critical. What would you do? What is the one thing you would do if you were not afraid? Now, what if you would go ahead and do that thing while afraid? What if you were just not to wait for courage to come to you, but what if you would just go ahead and do the thing without waiting for courage? Do you think that Mary and Joseph waited until God gave them the courage before they said, okay, now we will start our journey to Bethlehem? Maybe the way to have faith is to exercise faith. Maybe the way to have courage is to be courageous. We're not necessarily born courageous. I think it's a quality we develop or we choose to develop. But we can practice it anyway, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us. So in closing, I'm going to ask you, to challenge you even to do this. Make a list of things that you might do in your life if you had the courage to do it. Include spiritual things, emotional things, relational things, physical challenges, things for your health, whatever it is. Make a list of those things that you might do if you had the courage to do it. And choose one thing. And begin thinking of the steps that you have to take. And when you accomplish it, like Mary, you can magnify the Lord and rejoice in God your Savior, because He will give you the strength to do it. Let's pray. Lord, stick this message on our hearts and our minds for your glory. And may we, like Mary, continue to listen to your voice and have a willing spirit and live with courage. Thank you, Lord, for your might, for your holiness. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen.